Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk, here to break down Illinois' loss last night to number 4 Marquette, 71-64. Little disappointing. I think it was an opportunity, obviously, on your home court against a very good team. Marquette probably didn't play their best game.
Right.
I think a lot of people, if you weren't familiar with Tyler Kolek yet,
wow,
you are now, and you know why he is tabbed by a lot of people as the best point guard in college basketball this season. He was phenomenal. Even, Lon, did you hear that he had a banged up ankle?
I did not. No. Is he okay? I heard your podcast this morning with Jeremy on the way in, and I heard you guys like feeding the fire with the, oh, his ankle was blue and purple. And
it was.
The dude's not even limping. He's cutting. The one take he had against Damascus, he went left, right, fake, went up. I'm like, his ankle's not hurt. You can't do that and have a bad ankle. No, I know what you're saying. No, I believe you that it was. Listen, that guy gutted that out.
But, you did.
I mean, I've played with bad ankles. I'm not putting myself on an All-American status with a kid like Tyler Kolek, but even when I was taped up as heavily as possible, I still had a limp. And I did not see any of that last night with him. That said, because I did get tired of that. And by the way, FS1, it shows you my power. They didn't say one word about it after I sent that tweet out. So obviously it made it up the register there to say, hey, guys, Lante's not happy with what's going on here.
Across Jason Benetti's desk. And I'm not going to bother that guy anymore.
Jim Jackson at a timeout's like, oh, crap. Oh, man, this isn't good. Lon's busting us. But that said, that kid is incredible.
Yeah.
And we talked yesterday about what it would be like to have a point guard. Now, there aren't many of him, and then I want you to talk because you were there, and you can tell I finally watched the game because now I came with just bullets here. But there's not many of him out there. Like you said when you walked in today, he's the best point guard in the country. That said, the things he was doing, and you can break it down better than me with how Illinois was trying to stop them from shooting threes, which opened the door a little bit for Kolek. But the things he was doing, and first of all, he surpassed me with Stockton-like passes, like not even looking at the dude, and he just throws it behind him for a guy streaking.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that was
Iguodaro in transition. That was a beautiful pass.
I mean, just everything he did. Like, right off the bat, he ran that little two-man that led to a dunk, and I'm like, that was so smooth. Like, when's the last time we've had that? But a lot of teams don't have that kind of a guy. But kudos to him. He was the best player, without a doubt, in that gym. He is an absolute stud. And he was fun to watch. Despite me tweeting out, like, ripping him, he is a fun dude to watch. And I am going to try to watch as many Marquette games as possible to watch him play, because that was fun.
Big-time player, preseason All-American for a reason.
Yes.
And probably going to finish in the postseason awards as far as that goes, and could win Big East Player of the Year once again. So you got a great look at why he is one of the best, if not the best, point guard in the country. And yes, it's for a fan base that is very jilted by not getting a point guard in the offseason. Then to see that, there were ways of Illinois in terms of they could have won the game despite that performance from Tyler Kolek. I think if you would have told me going into the night that, hey, Marquette's going to score 71, I'd say, oh, Illinois's got a
shot.
Pretty good chance to win, especially when you look at the Golden Eagles only going 5-for-17 from three. It's a big area where they want to get a good amount of attempts on the rim from three. Illinois made the choice to stick to shooters, but that did leave Kolek in some one-on-ones and then playing two-on-two in the pick-and-roll. I thought that Marcus Damask didn't do a great job. I mean, probably as much as he could do on Tyler Kolek, not the matchup I would ideally want. I know that Kolek maybe has a little bit of strength in terms of maybe, all right, if you sit there and say, do you want Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn on him? But what Marquette was able to do in that pick-and-roll game is that it was similar to Penn State, it reminded me a little bit, in that you don't want to help off shooters. You don't want to go under his screens because of his ability to shoot from the three. So you're either going to switch it or you're going to chase him on the top of the screen, which gives him an angle. And they played in some switches, getting Marcus on him, getting Luke Goody on him. But really, he torched anybody that was in front of him. Because he's not the most athletic guy,
no, but
he's just so shifty just very crafty, can hurt you in a variety of ways, and he's tough as heck too to play through what he did, and then just to kind of body into you, take the contact, and finish as well. And yeah, if you did send some extra help at him, there were times I remember one baseline play. I think Coleman kind of shows on a help, and he just whips it like it's all in one motion from the hip pocket,
yeah,
through two guys to Iguodaro for a dunk. Like he's big time. He's a wizard with the ball. He's fantastic.
On Kolick, and then we can move on to other things if you want. But to me, when I've watched basketball my entire life, there is quickness, and there are athletes that are quick. I don't care what sport it is. There's quickness. You know, like to me, Isaiah Williams is quick, right? He can get open. He might not be the fastest kid, but he's quick. Then there are guys that are quick with the ball. So, Derek, if I said to you, I want you to run from this corner of Main Street to the other, and you didn't have a basketball, well, you'd be able to do it faster than you would if you had a basketball.
Of course.
That kid is almost as quick with the ball as he is without it, and those are the things that are amazing. And you said the shiftiness of how he can get, especially a guy like Damask, who, hey, had a great game, and we'll talk about that.
I'm not taking away from him.
But a guy like Damask is a bigger, stronger, I'm not saying he's much stronger than Kolick. Kolick's strong, but he's a strong kid that Kolick would get him moving right, and then all of a sudden just do this shimmy dribble where he's going left now. And Damask is like, it'd take him a little time to get adjusted back. And it's not just Damask. Anybody that guards him all season is going to see this. And I can't wait to watch it all season. But yeah, he just has that quickness with the basketball that is amazing to me. And man, he was worth the price of admission, because that kid, I've seen him in the past. I just have never seen him that good. And if he's doing that with at whatever percentage he's healthy, my goodness. I don't know. I heard Jeremy and you guys talk a little bit this morning on Illini Inquirer about, well, I mean, you did it last night, but I heard it this morning about, is he an NBA guy? Probably not, because of the athleticism. But I'm telling you, I'm taking a flyer on a guy like that. I don't think Jalen Brunson is that athletic.
But he's not that shifty, no.
But he's strong, and he uses his body. Now, he's a different player a little bit than Kolick, obviously. Mm-hmm. More of a scorer, probably, mm-hmm. I guess. But yet, I could see a spot where Kolick could do some damage, you know, in minutes in the NBA. That kid's awesome.
I think the most recent mock draft from The Athletic had him as one of the last picks in the second round.
Wow.
So maybe a guy that does get a chance. And you didn't have to see it a ton last night, but he can shoot the three really well also. And Marquette, I think, big picture, is a team that has a really, really high ceiling. I think that they'll have nights, obviously, where they'll face some defenses that don't contest the three as well as Illinois. They'll get going from the outside. They didn't kill Illinois in transition, which is a credit to Illinois' defense. I think there were some moments where they got up and down the floor that Illinois didn't do a great job of getting Mm-mm. back, but they missed free throws. They missed threes as far as Marquette goes, and that factors into the reason why you wish you would have
yeah.
been able to pull that thing out. So,
or that factors in that's why it was that close.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It really felt like there were stretches of the game. It felt like Marquette was thoroughly outplaying Illinois for a lot of that game. And you look at the score, and it's like Marquette's only up three. Marquette's only up five.
Felt like they were up 10. I'm with you on that. I heard you say that too, and I was like, I I've always said in the past, there's games where a team just comes out and they're always ahead of you. And like Marquette, while Illinois did, I mean, listen, there were some good things Illinois did. We'll get to some of the warts, but that game to me from the tip was controlled by Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you are an innocent bystander, not a fan of either team, and you're watching that game with me, and I ask you at halftime, or I ask you after that game, who's the better team, regardless of the score, they're going to tell you Marquette, because it felt like Marquette controlled the pace of that game. They controlled just the idea of just being ahead the whole time, essentially. Yet, give credit to Illinois.
Yeah.
If they could make, I mean, the one thing that Illinois was doing so well last night was timely threes. I mean, when they needed those, especially out of Luke Goody, Terrence Shannon hit some unbelievable threes that were timely as can be. Like, you know, Marquette was up, 64-57, and Shannon throws that three in right in front of Brad Underwood. All of a sudden, you're back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, well, sometimes I worry that that can be a little bit of a charade or a whatever I'm trying to say, that it can mask a little bit of a problem. So, and certainly there were problems on Illinois' side, but I'll say this and then I'll shut up. I was not all that disappointed in that game last night. And I had one other thought, and then a buddy of mine, Steve Sigler, told me at lunch today, he's like, he dropped the mic, essentially had one of those moments. I said last night I went to bed and I started thinking to myself, we still got to play Tennessee, who Lenardi has as a one seed. We still have to play FDU. Plus we have
FAU. FDU as well as Florida Atlantic, obviously the one you're worried about.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for correcting that. Am I missing anybody else in the non-con that's that? I mean, Missouri's pretty good, I would assume, or decent.
They're solid.
But you're going to play them every year, so that's not a good example.
Well, unfortunately, you have played them every year, and you've had a lot of struggles with that of late. And you're going to get an early road trip to Rutgers.
Yeah, right. And then the Big Ten. And I started thinking to myself, would I rather play like just cupcakes all year and as a fan never really get to watch a game like last night, which was tremendous to watch? I know that Illinois lost, but you can't tell me, nobody can tell me going into that game you weren't fired up to sit down and watch that game between those two teams. But I'm like, would I rather just win cupcakes and be a five seed or try to battle hard teams? And because of it, maybe you're a six seed in the NCAA tournament. But as Steve pointed out, he goes, well, listen, Michigan State does it every year.
They do.
And I'm like, yep, never mind. You dropped the mic. And they've always had really good success, obviously, in the NCAA tournament. So Brad Underwood said from day one, when we had him on our air, the first time we ever had him on, he said, I'm not backing down from playing good opponents. He's like, if that's what you're wanting, then you got the wrong coach. And I give him credit every year, and we did yesterday, about the kind of competition that Illinois plays. And look, bringing in Marquette, maybe we're getting like football. Like we set up this series with Marquette and they just happen to be fourth in the country. It's like, maybe we're bad at setting those things
well,
up.
Well, this one was a Gavitt Games draw. So yes, they set that one up. You got handed that opponent. I think it was an awesome opportunity. It was a really good game. And you want those opportunities to build your resume, because beating a bunch of cupcakes isn't going to help
you. Isn't going to help you.
In terms of the NCAA tournament. And then a loss like this doesn't hurt you.
Right.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. So I do think it puts a little more pressure on games like Florida Atlantic and Tennessee, because you would like to come out of the non-conference with a win that you can really hang your hat on. Because yeah. I think other than that, you don't have many opportunities to have something that has a lot of substance right out of the non-conference schedule, or even just the first 2 months of your season. But then again, the Big Ten is, although we're going to maybe get to the Big Ten as we go along, the Big Ten is going to give you a number of chances. We thought, I still think, you know, you play Purdue twice, you play Michigan State twice. Those are big games, obviously. But side note, the Big Ten on the whole is looking a little rough, if not a lot rough around the edges right now. But in terms of Illinois, I do give, you know, Luke Goody and Marcus Dumas combined to go, I think, 7 for 14 from three. They really, in the first half, kept Illinois' head above water of making those corner threes in particular. Shannon in the second half scored 14 of his 21 and had some big three-point shots. Obviously got downhill a handful of times as well. Illinois' offense, though, really dried up.
They did.
Down the stretch. It's a two-point game. Illinois actually in the lead with 11 and some change to go. From there, Illinois goes 2 for 16 from the field.
Wow.
And has 5 turnovers.
The turnovers were bad.
Some really, really bad ones.
Including a danger goaltending that he didn't need to do.
Huge swing of the game there.
After Shannon had missed a layup on one end, danger goaltends on the other, so you got a 4-point swing right there in the heart of basically the end of the game. And it's frustrating. Marquette, I know you're analyzing here, and I'm not stepping aside, but Marquette is quick.
Yeah, they're athletic.
Illinois is not quick. And it's, listen, I think Illinois are things. In other words, there are some positives with Guerrier getting 10 rebounds. Damask is a strong kid. As non-quick as he is, he still sometimes can get a shot. He did some great things. He's heady. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Luke Goody, and of course, all of that, right? And Shannon, who I think is underrated defensively, and then making big points in the second half. But It was so apparent to me watching that how much quicker Marquette is and how much more they're built for like a longer run, I feel like.
For sure.
I mean, more things have to go Illinois' way for the Illini to win a game than they would for Marquette, who can just maybe play not the best game, like you mentioned last night, and still get a win against a good Illinois basketball team.
I agree. There is more athleticism across the board for Marquette. They're quicker. I think, obviously, their guard play collectively is better than what Illinois has. I mean, they actually have a point guard. I don't want to, you know, hammer that home too hard, but like,
but
there's more guys on Marquette that can create off the dribble, too. Yep. Like, that's something that was really evident when you were going to – I know we're going to get into a variety of different angles here, but for Illinois, shooting 33 threes of their 60 shots, not enough inside the arc action, not enough getting to the rim. I thought that was – really something we broke down yesterday that Illinois could do, because the profile Marquette was not a very good two-point field goal defense team, particularly offensive rebound team as well, and Illinois did not exploit them there. So they have that going for them. Iguodaro is a – I mean, he convincingly won the matchup against Coleman Hawkins, who we're going to talk about, had a really rough game and has had a really rough start to this season, which hurts Illinois tremendously.
Bad loss.
Iguodaro is more athletic. He's stronger. And they have the ability to throw it into him on the mid post, and he went to work on Coleman. And obviously, you see the way that he finishes above the rim too in that pick and roll action. So I like this Marquette team a lot. We'll see as they go in terms of some defensive things. I still think, you know, when they give up 32 combined offensive rebounds to Ryder and Northern Illinois, some team out there is going to hurt them.
No doubt.
Illinois didn't do last night. They had 5 second chance points. I think that's. I asked Brad about that last night. He was very, very frustrated. Mm. But let's talk about the negative for Illinois.
Can I bring up one more point?
Yeah.
I think, like, a quarterback that is helped by a good offensive line, I don't think there's any doubt that an offense runs a lot smoother and everybody else looks better because you've got a really good point guard. And I think on Illinois' side of things, things don't run as smooth because you don't have that.
Right.
And I think it's easier to guard Illinois, obviously, when there's no fear of somebody penetrating or cutting and going to the rim and then making a beautiful dish or constantly making the right decision. Kolek had a couple of things he did wrong, but not many. When you've got a kid that can do that and it's so effortless, that makes your offense look a lot better. That makes Derek Piper a little bit better. That makes Lante a little bit better.
Which we need.
Yeah, but now if Kyle's our point guard, then that makes you look a little worse. That makes me look a little worse.
He's probably not going to pass.
Exactly. We're not ever going to even – I mean, they won't even know we're playing. So, I mean, I think in that sense, sometimes we forget that one thing can lead to another, and the idea with Illinois not really having – anybody necessarily that penetrates and kicks to help open up shots. Mm-hmm. Now, they did do some decent – they're a pretty good passing team.
I thought
team.
Shannon did a decent job of that. I mean, he when I'm nitpicking and saying Illinois didn't get into the lane enough, I'm absolving Terrence Shannon from that. I thought he did a good job downhill and did deliver some good passes to the outside. Now, he had too many turnovers, but
he did.
I thought that he's a guy that can do it. There's not enough guys beyond him that are doing it.
I'm with you. Sorry, I was yawning. I don't know why I'm yawning, but maybe because I stayed up longer than I've ever stayed up in 2 years. No, it's true. I mean, you know, listen, for as much grief as we're going to give Coleman, and he deserves it from last night, he made a couple of nice passes. He can kick, and I, like you said this when I was listening this morning, from what you said after the game, I mean, he's your point guard. So you're putting him in a bad spot, first off. And then you're making him make these passes, but certainly DeMass, Goody, those guys have an ability to see across court. They do nice. I think they're pretty decent on skip passes to set up three-pointers, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. to have a guy like Kolek that can just 10 seconds on the clock and he's going to make something happen, I think it hides deficiencies and it just accentuates things that can be really good. I mean, when you already have a good team – and athletic guys, and then you throw him in there to do what he does. Wow.
It is no surprise that Marquette was the more poised and steady team down the stretch. Now, Kolek had a couple of turnovers in his own right across the course of the game, but that he is running the show, getting the shots he wants, breaking down the defense. Illinois, in the latter portion of the second half, was sped up, was out of sorts, was not executing well. Now, I want to get your guys' thoughts on this, including Kyle's take as well.
I want to hear Kyle's take.
Because there's been a lot of discourse about the system that Illinois is running. Is there enough of an offense established in terms of off-ball movement? And is Brad doing the right things with this current construction to get the best shots? I think in rewatching that stretch for Illinois, Illinois just flat out made a lot of bad decisions late, and also just blew some, you know, smoked some layups. I wrote about it today, I can go through it. Like the fact of Terrence just bringing the ball off the court one time and whipping it into the fourth row.
Yeah,
that happens. Coleman has they make a nice play out of the halftime. Damask cuts down the lane, and Coleman, I don't know how much you blame him for it, but he throws it off Iguodaro's outstretched hand, and it's tipped away, and it's a turnover. Justin Harmon's giving you nothing. He had one opportunity. They throw it to him on the baseline. He doesn't even look to try to score it. Ty Rogers, offensive foul, takes a terrible runner shot like 12 feet away from the basket on the stretch. So there are moments where you can say what you want about Brad and implementing offense, and is this offense too simplistic? Is it getting the most out of what you want? Illinois, aside from all that, just squandered opportunities late by bad decision making, and I think kind of also big picture on your offense. So much you mentioned it there with Coleman. If Coleman is not an effective stretch big man, then it's hard to run what they're trying to run with how much the ball is in his hands,
exactly,
and how much you want to use his stretch the floor ability against somebody. But right now, Coleman is a career between a 27 and 28% three-point shooter on his entire career. So that has been a situation where he's not a good shooter. Like that's the bottom line. He's had games where he shot it well, but on the whole, he's not a good shooter, and he's making too many bad decisions with the ball, whether it's passes or last night we saw shades of last year with some step back.
Oh.
Just what are you doing shots? And he was in his head. I think he was pressing. And then I think emotionally he has not handled some of the struggles so far the best. So there's a lot to break down and digest there, but I want to get your guys' thoughts on
that. Well, I want to talk about that. The one thing that Coleman, number one, seemingly is always complaining about something.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of watching that because it's not your job to complain about stuff. Now, if you want to say something like, hey, he's grabbing me here, you can do that. He's so animated with having to make a show of this isn't going right or this isn't going right. To me, that is in your head. And the hard foul he had late in that game on Iguodaro when Shannon had missed the layup, I believe it was. Anyway, there was a play late where they got the ball. They isolated Iguodaro, and he turned, and Coleman went up and kind of blocked it, but also fouled him. And it was just a hard foul. And the whole time, I'm like, yep, he's out of sorts. I don't know that Brad, at some point, shouldn't get him off the court, if that's the case. Now, you're lacking a little bit defensively because we saw Dane come in, and I wasn't wanting him to play any more minutes last night. I'm not saying there might be a game or two where he can, but I didn't want any more Dane Danger on the court last night. So you're limited a bit there. The other thing, and then I'll lead into Kyle with regards to offense, I'll say this. Go get yourself a point guard. And I think it'll take care of a lot of problems. And I'm talking about one of the best point guards in the country. Go get one. And then everything's going to run a lot smoother. I promise you. I'll sit here right now on November 15th and promise you that if you've got a good point guard next year or in 2 years, you're going to watch offense going, man, we look a lot. We flow a lot better. Yeah. There's a reason a good point guard can get you in an offense and get it going and keep it going. I'm a firm believer in that. I always will be. The guys like Isaiah Thomas, I mean, I'm bringing up way in the past, Paxson, Stockton, I mean, all those guys, Nash, Stockton, those guys, they just make an offense look so much easier than what it is. And I think for Illinois, it's not easy because they really don't have anybody that's going to break anybody down and kick and somebody's wide open. Now, I could be wrong. The other thing we don't do, Kyle, is set screens. We appear to be setting screens. Like, we will stop.
They were just diving down the lane any kind of created
contact. Is that what they're supposed to do?
I would imagine so, but that stood out to me where they're like looking like they're going to set a pick and roll for Shannon.
Yeah.
And then Coleman dives down the lane or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden it's, here's an ISO.
Right.
There was a lot of that last year.
And I'm not even being like the old guy that back in my day,
hit somebody.
We set screens, and Steve Alford ran off five of them every time down the court But there were a lot. Luke Goody wouldn't do it. He'd come across, he'd appear like he's going to screen, and then he'd back away before. And I'm like, well, maybe that's what they're supposed to be doing. But what's the point of that? I guess maybe it hesitates the guy, but I don't know. Kyle, I'm going to shut up. I want you to explain what you saw up close. First of all, did you make it in?
I sure did.
Okay,
yeah,
and
I got a solid seat.
Okay.
I was behind the hoop, but...
behind the hoop. That's not where you want to be, is it?
That's fine.
We told you.
Like, literally behind the hoop? You had to, like...
No, I saw it. I had a good view of the court.
I'm just kidding. I was kidding.
It was fine.
So you're the reason that Marquette shot 60% from the free throw line.
Yeah, it was.
You got the people in Nuggets.
Good job, Cole. Yeah. That was right off
the
bat.
They got the Nuggets
it?
In like the first 2 minutes. That wasn't even when they were shooting free throws by us. That was on the other side.
All right.
What did you think, Kyle, of that offense?
Wasn't a fan of it.
Okay.
No, truly, though, to me, the difference in the game, and I kind of alluded to it yesterday when I made my prediction, was that crunch time, come down, end of the game, when Marquette has the ball, I'm confident that it's going to result in a good possession. They've got a guy they can get the basketball to. He's going to create offense. They have a plan, a structure offensively. When Illinois brought the ball down the court, I had no clue what was going to happen.
Nope.
And it has to get corrected somehow. I just don't know how you overcome the no point guard thing. It's just such a problem for me when you just don't have a guy that you can trust late in the game. And maybe that needs to be Terrence Shannon more. Maybe that needs to be Coleman really stepping up and doing that. But it felt like every possession down the stretch was a struggle for Illinois.
Right.
The only times they had success was when Shannon bailed them out with a three. And I think maybe it might have been Coleman the other time who kind of just took a three that ended up going. Like, it just... offensively, it was just such a struggle for me, and it was just such a difference when both those teams came down the stretch in a tight game of what offense was being run and what guys you could put the ball in their hands and expect
the
play to be made. It's just I'm concerned about that. I think there were a lot of positives, but I'm very concerned about how are you going to create winning offensive possessions late in crunch time this year.
Yeah, and you heard Ty Rogers tell you guys on our airwaves, don't worry about that. The point guard spot is fine. I love
Brad
Ty.
Brad said the same Brad thing in the offseason.
And Brad
too.
Said it too.
Yeah.
I love Ty. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I hope that kid's here 4 years, but he's going to be a pain in everybody's side by the time he's gone. But he is not that kind of a guy.
No.
You can call him a point guard, but he is not a pure point guard. And last night, I mean...
He's less of a point guard than Jaden Epps was.
That's right.
In my opinion.
That's right.
Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe it's too small of a sample size at this point, but they're not even pretending, right? Like, if you watch them and you didn't hear any of the comments, you didn't know what Ty Rogers said, you didn't know what Brad Underwood said, if you just watched Illinois play basketball, you would not for a second think that, Ty Rogers is this team's point guard.
No. Not at all. Not at all.
Well, I don't know if I want Ty on the court at the end of a game if he refuses to dunk the ball when he's standing in front of the rim.
He went all Ben Simmons on us.
That was the Ben Simmons play.
And
would have cut it to four without a minute 20 left,
well,
minute
and
10.
Then, can I say something, too, about Dre? How about as a freshman that's hunting minutes, how about instead of coming in and just immediately thinking you're – the best three-point shooter in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And how about, I'm not saying I don't want Dre to shoot on occasion, but how about come in and try to be a point guard? You know, you are one. You're as close to a point guard as you and Nico. I mean, I almost wanted to see Nico for like 2 minutes to see if he could somehow generate some kind of movement on one end.
Yeah.
But again, I feel like I'm yelling right now, and I wasn't that disappointed. That's a really good Marquette team, and I think there's going to be games where we're really impressed by Illinois, and I think they have things that can really hurt other teams. I do honestly think Illinois's got some things that can do some. I mean, obviously Terrence Shannon is a guy that can get you 20 any night.
Mm-hmm.
I like what Damask does. He plays a heady, smart game. And he's got that great turnaround in the lane. He can hit a three when he needs to. I feel like sometimes when everything was out of control, like you mentioned earlier, sometimes the ball would land in number three's hand and it would just be like, calm down. And it was like, oh, thank goodness. Damask has it. Now we can run something. But we just don't have the quickness of a kid that can do what, like, Kolek. And last night it just, like you said, I mean.
Just smacked you in the face.
It smacked you in the face because you can't bring in a better one to watch what you don't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they knocked it out of the park. He was a transfer from George Mason back in 2021. Second year, Mark Petty's the Big East Player of the Year. And this year he's probably the best point guard in the country. I know we got to catch a break.
Although we've had some great portal guys, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't mean – I'm for sure. That sound I made almost made it sound like, oh, of course they get it. Well, we've had some great guys.
It's just – make no mistake, you went into the offseason and everybody would have told you that this team needs a point guard. And then there was some salesmanship after the fact of like, oh, actually, you know, we're good. We're good. We don't need one. We don't. We have them. We have point guards.
Ray J.
Yeah. And the whole idea of, you know, well, we want Coleman not to have as big of a playmaking load on his shoulders this year, and we want to be able to do more off-the-ball stuff with Terrence Shannon, and that's none of those things are happening. Mm-mm. Like, there's a lot on both of their shoulders, and they combined to have 10 turnovers last night.
Especially against a really good team.
Really good
team. You're going to face in March.
Yeah. And I just think on the note of smacking you in the face, Illinois having that Kansas beating number one, looking as good as you did. You hung 82 points on them.
You did.
And it looked like the ball movement was a lot better. The off-ball cutting, you know, obviously Terrence went nuts from three, and Coleman even hit four threes of his own. And it's like, wow, this team looks really, really good. And since then, even in the performances against Eastern and Oakland where you won, in particular Oakland where it was tight in the middle of the second half,
right. You're like,
what happened? Mm. So
shots aren't always going to fall.
That's true. Another thing in terms of in contradiction to what has been said, and look, there's a lot of basketball left. I'm not burying this team, whatever.
No.
But the idea of we're going to take less threes this year. By percentage, they've actually taken more threes as far as a rate of their percentage of field goals that have been threes is actually higher right now than it was last season. Is kind of crazy.
And 33% isn't horrible.
No, it's not. It's not.
But
it was just right off the bat, 9 of their first 13 shots were from three.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Marquette was the worst team in the Big East in guarding the two by percentage last year.
Yeah.
They were the worst. You know who was also in the Big East? DePaul.
Wow. Is DePaul even – did you see the – this is way off subject. Not really. Did you see the tweet on their home opener? They had like 800 people.
Yeah, less than 1,000 people.
Wow. But, you know, they're rural. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, my brother lived a block from where they played, I think. Or, I'm sorry, from the campus. The problem was, you know, forever they played. Did they build a brand new arena, right?
Yes, they did.
Or is it still?
Or is it renovated? I don't know.
But is it still out of the... I mean, in other words, it's not like at Illinois where you just walk across the quad and
right,
whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not.
I don't know.
I don't either.
If you're a student there, are you dying to go watch the games?
No.
I would say probably not.
No.
No.
And then you hire the same coach back? Like, how many programs in the history of the world have ever had the same coach twice? Mm. David Lato is that his name?
Yeah.
Dave Lato?
Dave Lato.
I'm giving him the David because that was his birth name.
All right, we're due for a break. You want to weigh in, you can. There's been plenty of you that have 217-359-2255 on the U of I Illini Link text line. We'll get to a number of those texts. I know a lot of people talking about Sincere Harris. Which
yes,
we can,
no doubt.
We can touch on Coleman Hawkins' thoughts. Just kind of there's a lot to get to. So continue to send those in, 217-359-2255.
Hold on. Does it bother you if somebody's named Jonathan and they don't just go by John? Like, does that bother you? Or like their name William and they don't go by Bill. And it's like, that bothers me to say William.
Like you want to use the
nickname? Yeah, I want to use the shorter name. Like, hey, Bob, I'm not calling you Robert. Like that, I think it's my paranoia because I have the shortest name in the world. Lancite. Like there's no middle name. There's just an initial. So people that have that Jeffrey. So do I call you Jeff? No, I prefer Jeffrey. Well,
Benjamin.
Yeah.
This is Ben.
Well, then I'm not calling you Benjamin. Sorry. I just thought of that.
Bartholomew instead
of
Bart.
Bart. I went to school with a Bart. He was a good dude.
Kyle's giving me the side eye. We need a break. This is The Drive.
Kyle Aloysius.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars. They're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc. Fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Habitat for Humanity of Champaign County has been bringing people together to build homes, communities, and hope since 1991. To date, Habitat of Champaign has built 118 homes, but the need for safe, decent, and affordable housing is greater than ever. When you donate your time or money to Habitat or make a purchase from the Habitat Restore, you are empowering local families and helping them achieve the strength, stability, and self-reliance they need to build a bright future for themselves. For more information about Habitat for Humanity of Champaign, please visit CUHabitat.org.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men and a Truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, Two Men and a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampaign.com.
Two Men and a Truck.
Hey, Fighting Illini fans! D&D Advertising has the new 2023-2024 basketball schedules ready for pickup at these fine businesses.
Illinois Excavation Septic Concrete, Beast Mode Painting, LLC, SK Exteriors, George Mallet Company Garage Door, Twin City Industrial Rubber Hose, Studio Nails, Champaign Eye Professionals, Inspire Your Wedding and Events, Express Employment Professionals, Thomas Mamer Attorneys at Law, Oak Creek Outdoor Service Tree and Landscaping, The Dentist Gray, Yellowly and Black, DDS, Armor Shield Concrete Coatings, Latitude Apartments, Campus Culinary Solutions, New Era Cannabis Products and Accessories, Ray's Heating and AC, Burner Plumbing, Horn Installation, Allstate Insurance, William Abel. Please patronize these fine businesses as they are an asset to the community.
D&D Advertising Enterprises is not licensed, affiliated with, or endorsed by any university, sports institution, or program unless specifically stated in writing. No proceeds from any of the funds collected for your ad will be given to any educational institution or sports team. We are not responsible for any schedule changes made after printing.
Make plans to pop into Pia's at 1609 West Springfield Avenue for happy hour from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday with 16-ounce drafts, just $3.25, well drinks, $4. Taco Tuesdays get you big tacos for $2.50, $2 off on tequila shots and margaritas, $5. Get Mexican beers for $4 each. Go south of the border on Tuesdays at Pia's, then there's Whiskey Wednesdays and karaoke a few times a month on Fridays with $4 fireball shots. Pia's is the place to party any day of the week.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Going to get to a number of your texts here on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Let's get to the most important one first. You can call me Sal. Says, how many crackers did Kyle give out?
I didn't have any crackers last night.
No crackers. No wonder you stood behind the hoop. Yep.
Any deer sausage?
Who's starting a quarterback? I want to know.
Oh, boy.
That kind of unleashed a...
We got to get to that.
Hey, Cooper DeJean is out for the year, by the way. Did you hear this?
I didn't know that.
Iowa cornerback, All-American probably, All-Big Ten for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's out. He's going to have shoulder surgery?
Broken foot.
Oh, practice. Broken foot. Okay, Lon, you couldn't have been. That's why I wasn't very good at the old game where you'd have to, if you'd hit the bone or you'd hit the side.
Operation.
So that's a, I always thought this was your foot up here. What the hell? So I've got a sore right shoulder, not a sore right foot. Yeah, but that's huge news for this game.
Mm.
With DeJean being out,
is it
DeJean? DeJean? DeJean?
I think it's DeJean.
DeJean.
So if their top corner is out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And punt returner, kick returner, who's like their only offense.
That too. But if they're
imagine in a bar, you're like, yeah, our top offensive guy's out. Oh, your QB? No, he's our kick returner. What?
Yeah, Devin Hester, I can relate.
Well, good call on that. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. But get this, though. If you're an Illini fan and you know that their top corner is out, you have a quarterback that just threw for 500 yards, so you're good. You're good, right?
If Brett Bielema is nothing else, he's smooth at keeping things open. And if you think, if you don't think that he is throwing out shade, I mean, he might as well be the guy that picks number one in the NFL draft every year. He could throw more shade at anything. So if I'm whoever a fan, whether you're going crazy because of one guy or the next, just wait till kickoff and see what happens. And I have a feeling it's going to be the 500-yard guy.
Okay. We're already here, so we might as well discuss it. If you're questioning what we're referring to, apparently Brett Bielema joined. Was it Sirius XM Radio today?
I got the quote.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Of his.
Yep.
Yep, he joined. Matt Schick is the Sirius XM radio host who hosts a college football show. Had Brett Bielema on this morning, and the initial tweet that he made was like, well, Brett Bielema on my show this morning announced that Luke Altmyer will start on Saturday at quarterback. Hmm. And then under that, he posted the quote. And like Lon's saying, you know, this is, I wouldn't call this announcing Luke as the starter. This is what he said. As of yesterday, Luke has been totally cleared to play. Because of that, he is our starting quarterback before he left. And that's where I sort of see it now. If there's any part of that that gets gray, we have a guy that has proven he can play. So he alludes to the fact
that statement's kind of gray itself.
He alludes to the fact that, like, yeah, Luke was our starter before the injury, so he's kind of our starter now. But like, if something else happens, like, we also have John. So
yeah.
Like Lon's saying, like, he's saying, hey, Kirk Ferentz, guess who's playing quarterback.
Exactly.
I don't take that as some people were running with that, like, Altmyer's in.
Yeah,
I'm with Lon. I don't believe that.
I understand when he follows it up by saying, and I sort of see it that way now, that you,
right.
If you didn't maybe have all the context and knew what maybe some people are saying around here or how John Paddock was received last night when you put on the video board twice.
Was he really?
That was the loudest eruption of the night, possibly.
Wow.
But and Luke Altmyer was also in the building, our buddy.
I'm right here. Luke's like, hey,
Yeah.
I'm literally standing right here.
Right. I could see how you would interpret that and say, I don't know that, I think it's fair to say maybe he took it a step too far of declaring for sure he's going to start at Iowa when that wasn't the word for word response that he got from Brett Bielema. But
how much will it bother you guys if Luke is the starter? How much will it absolutely gnaw at you at the beginning of that game if Luke Altmaier is the starter? Will it? Knowing you can always change to Paddock.
I think the right move is start John Paddock.
I do too, just so you know. But I'd be interested to know what I'm going to feel like 2:30 Saturday. Illinois will receive the ball first, and here comes number 9. It'd be interesting.
I've thought about it a little bit, and while if I was making the decision, I would definitely start Paddock. I do see it in the fact that Luke was playing really well before he got hurt. He's the guy you committed to clearly at the beginning of the year. Like, there's a quarterback you saw all of camp, all of practice all year long. This staff has seen something that has indicated that Luke Altmaier is a much better option than what Paddock is. Now, obviously, Paddock has proven capable.
Right.
But sticking with that guy that you made your starter, that's also going to be your future. If it doesn't go well through a quarter and a half, John Paddock has proven he can come in cold and give you a spark. So that's I don't think I'll feel that terrible about it, although I would have started Paddock if it was decision.
Brian on the U of I Line of Lake text line said earlier today, he's like, hey, my coach, high school coach would say, quote, no future for me with the seniors. In other words, I got to start the guy that's going to be starting for you for the next 2 years. I don't have any issues. Like, I have zero worry about Altmaier hitting the portal. He'd lose.
No, because he wouldn't be a grad. So he
right, exactly. He'd have to sit out.
Have to sit if that were to happen.
Yeah, so he had alluded a little bit to that.
I just think that the position you've put yourself in, I think you owe it to your football team, and I would imagine that Brett Bielema is thinking this way. I would think, but then again, I won't know until what decision he makes going into Saturday, that he wants to put his team in the best position for this particular game to beat Iowa, period.
But
regardless of what Luke is going to potentially be next year, big picture, two-year window, whatever, I think he wants to win the game, and that's how I would approach it. That's why I think a lot of people would want your head coach to approach it. I also think it sounds like coach speak to me, and I'm trying to decipher and maybe speak for Brett Bielema a little bit. Like, the idea that there is an unwritten rule of you can't lose your job to injury is dumb.
Mm-hmm.
It's dumb. I get that that's kind of maybe the baseline of what you would anticipate, but there's too many variables as far as someone stepping in and playing well. There are very famous examples, obviously, of Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe.
Sure.
And, I'm not as familiar with the Wally Pipp one that
he got hurt and Lou Gehrig went on to set the all-time record, right?
That Jay Layman likes to...
The Iron Man.
He likes to bring up. But, if my mom ordered Papa John's every Friday and then I became a rewards member at Papa John's and I dabbled with another pizza place that I liked, I would go with the pizza place that I liked for my family Friday nights.
It's Jets, baby.
Hey, you know,
that's where you're going, Jets.
Jets, there it is. Like, well, I'm a rewards member at Papa John's and that means I got to keep my loyalty there. I know that's a stupid example, but still, I think that if John Paddock is playing football to where you feel like he's the best chance to win, which I would feel like he is, we're even also, if you're weighing, what Paddock has done versus what Altmaier was doing, he missed an entire week of practice.
Yes.
There's got to be some form of rust built into there.
Would agree.
I don't know. Just ride the heater as long as you can.
I'm with you.
If John opens up and he's not good, he throws a pick, then put Luke in there. But give John the go. That would be my opinion.
I'm going to call Paddock the Iron Horse because that's what they called Lou Gehrig. There you go. He's got a new nickname. Sorry, we kind of hijacked the basketball show.
We did, but we dabbled on it. People wanted to know as far as the text line went. So
this is a big game coming up. Like, this is a big game against Iowa. You could be bowl eligible. You could keep yourself maybe in contention for the West title. There's reason we need to talk a little bit about it, but certainly that game last night, obviously.
Well, how much and I know that, you know, the current players on the roster probably don't care about recruiting.
Right.
But if you're a staff member, or just kind of maybe, you know, those that are going to, you know, Johnny Newton's going to play his last few games in Illini uniform, how much satisfaction would he probably take in knowing that they beat Iowa the last two times they played him?
Oh,
and huge. How awesome it would be to go to one of the toughest environments in the Big Ten and get a win at Kinnick. Like, that matters a lot.
Illinois hasn't won there since 99.
Right. There is not a team in the country that recruits your players better than Iowa. When I say players, your home state, there's not a team in the country that does it. I mean, what was it last year where Iowa sent out a tweet with all of the Illinois players and was kind of a shot at Illinois? I mean, it was brilliant. But there is not one school that has come in and taken your kids from your state more than Iowa. So beating Iowa two in a row would be huge. Absolutely huge. Laporta, Illinois guy. I mean, don't even get me going. I was thinking this last night. You know, my guy, Damask from Wisconsin, he maybe had a little personal thought to that game against Marquette.
Maybe.
You know, Damask was the player of the year in Wisconsin. Didn't go to Wisconsin, didn't go to Marquette. I don't know if they recruited him. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how he ended up at SIU. They're very thankful that he did. I am too. But I thought that last night. I'm like, this is interesting.
One of his state schools.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Shaka wouldn't have been there to recruit him at the time.
Right.
It would have been Woj. But still, yeah, seeing Marquette and saying, hey, I can stick it to that program for not
At one point during that game, I was like, Damask from Wisconsin, Goody from Indiana, Shannon from Illinois. You got those three guys just going off, you know, on that. I'm like, that was kind of cool, you know, to have kind of that. I think I'm the only person in the world that ever worries about stuff like that. I really am. I truly am. It's kind of weird. I'm kind of weird.
Do they now need to lock down Missouri and Iowa? Just have the surrounding Midwest.
What's Coleman? California?
Yeah. California.
Yeah. Ty is, Michigan.
Dre's Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah, Lindy said Dre was wide open. I agree he's wide open on those shots, but I don't know. He could play point. I'm all over the board.
Well, and also how much – there was quite a bit of value in Jaden Epps getting downhill last year, and I think that, you know, Dre's even more athletic than Jaden was. And last night they needed to attack the paint. That first three he took, yes, he was wide open.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I think that you'd like a guy maybe to go in there and when they could use someone getting into the defense, even if it's not going to be him to take the shot,
right?
Get into the middle, an area that Illinois was not attacking nearly enough.
Not at all.
And either find a shot for yourself or then create a breakdown to get somebody else a look. So
would agree.
And obviously – that is not all on his shoulders, Illinois. And as a whole, to get outscored 44-20 points in the paint was shocking. We'll talk more about this game on the other side of this break. If you want to weigh in, you can, 217-359-2255. We do have a number of other basketball-related texts that we're going to get to, so keep sending those in. We'll tackle that on the other side of this break. This is The Drive.
Illini fans, taste what's special about Jet's Pizza by ordering any of their specialty pizzas for $5 off. That's right, save $5 on all specialty pizzas like the barbecue chicken pizza, chicken grilled to perfection, premium mozzarella cheese, bacon, red onion, and BBQ sauce. All piled onto Jet's amazing crust made from dough they make fresh every day. There's also their super special all-meaty chicken bacon ranch and more, all $5 off. Make your day special and order a Jet's specialty pizza for $5 off.
From computer systems to brakes and tires too, at PDR, fixing cars is what they do. Remember, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 or use their dedicated text-only line at 383-0619. Additional information including repair quotes and online scheduling requests available from the website at pdrauto.com. Remember, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.